Good morning. It's 7 minutes after the hour. And Phil English is in studio from BibleandBusiness.com. And we are, we just started a conversation recently about how do we pick up the pieces in the middle of financial disaster. And maybe that disaster comes from something that's happened to you. Maybe it's a natural disaster. I'm thinking about that fire in Northern California, Bill, and 2,000 homes and businesses have been lost. Thousands, and I think 60,000, 20,000 people have been displaced. So they're in a place of already disaster. And so question I have for you today, and I want to have this conversation, is to how do we rebuild business if we have a personal financial struggle?
That is a great question, and there are many business owners right now listening who are wondering the same thing.
Yeah, and people, and just regular people.
Yeah, you know, our lives are, there's a lot of pain. You and I talked about this last week. There's a lot of pain out there. We've had two hurricanes. We've had floods. We've had mass shootings, mm-hmm. and now we have fires. Mm-hmm. And it seems that these disasters are just going to continue to keep happening.
Yeah, I know.
They destroy people's lives, mm-hmm. and now you got to go about the act of rebuilding. It seems to me that the first thing that you need to bear in mind, and I know I'm not trying to be glib when I say this, but you just never want to waste a crisis.
Mm-hmm.
You never want to take this kind of an opportunity, and that's what it is. The crisis is an opportunity to reevaluate your life and decide if God is moving you along or if he wants you to rebuild and recast and keep going in the same vein that you're going today.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're talking about a business, and maybe your customer concentration has been too high with one customer and you've lost that customer and now you don't have enough cash flow to sustain the business as it is, you're facing a crisis, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the question becomes, what do I do to either rationalize more business across a wider range of customers, or is God asking me maybe to sell this thing and move it along and do something else? It's a crisis. Maybe you've had a fire and you've lost your house. Well, does God want you to stay here or does he want you to move? Well, maybe my business is suddenly going under for other reasons. Well, does he want you to stay in business or does he want you to go teach? Does he want you to go on the mission field? Crises represent an opportunity for us to evaluate our lives and to say, God, what's next? It's not an opportunity for us to shake our fist at God and say, you know, why the H-E double hockey sticks, God, did you let this happen to me?
Mm-hmm. So we're always in a place where our default is to feel resistance and maybe anger and fear and anxiety. And what you're saying is maybe when this crisis comes in, we need to take a deeper breath and say, what is it God might be trying to show me, teach me, or lead me to?
Yeah, I wouldn't make it an either or.
Okay.
I would say you're going to go ahead and feel the fear, the anxiety, the grief, the pain, all of the natural emotions that we're going to feel, and you might feel them for some time. But in addition to that, you need to get your head above those emotions a little bit and ask that question that you just asked. God, what do you have in this for me, and what's next?
Mm-hmm.
What's in your plan, not what is my plan? Because our natural plan, Bill, is going to be to try to return to normal. And what's normal? Normal is the life that we had before crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And God may be saying, no, I brought the crisis into your life precisely so that I could, the word I want to use is depotentiate, so that I could unsettle you so that you can move along and be ready to take on this new task or this new venue that I have for you.
Mm-hmm. Did you say depotentiate?
I did. That's
Rebecca's department.
It's a psychological term.
Yeah.
That we used. It means to unsettle. Which is why I used the unsettle.
Okay. Let's say we've had a crisis of some kind and it's brought difficulty, hardship, and I don't have enough financial cushion to be trying to figure out where God is leading me next.
Boy, you should have bought insurance.
I'm just saying, well, what about just cash flow and I got to pay bills and I got to do something now. I can't sit around and daydream as to what might be next.
Yeah, so if you own a business and you don't have enough cash and you can't sit around and daydream about what's next, you've got to start about the process of cutting expenses now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the things that we do when we go into turnarounds. One of the first things we do is stop the bleeding.
Mm-hmm.
And that can take the form of reducing payroll.
That sounds a little cold-hearted.
It is.
But, I mean, it sounds like you're firing people.
Yeah, you are.
Okay.
Okay, but you know, you fire 10 to save 70.
Okay.
That's kind of the way it is. And normally businesses are a little bloated in their payroll anyways. Mm-hmm. I haven't been in too many businesses where their payroll has been pretty lean.
Interesting.
Most businesses, if they're over 5-7 years of age, they're maybe 5, 10, 15 million in size, they probably have some positions they could cut. They just choose not to.
Mm-hmm. So what about if I have plans and I've got this exciting idea and I've been working on it and now a personal emergency comes in and flattens me?
Yeah, so that's when you need to be planning for that risk factor. If you're in a business, you need to be planning for that and already put a management team in place who, in theory, can run the business if you need to step away.
Oh, but I'm just a little startup company working out of my garage.
So. Well, if you're a little startup company and something flattens you, then maybe God's moving you along.
Mm-hmm. And then where do we get that confirmation that God is moving me along? Do we get it from God directly, or is it from counsel, or where does that come from?
I think it comes from a number of sources, but primarily from God directly.
Mm-hmm.
One of the hallmarks in the Bible and business reference architecture that I use to help consult with businesses, one of the top things that a business owner needs to have is the ability to hear the voice of God in decision making.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't just rely on circumstances. You don't just rely on the counsel of others. You're primarily learning to hear what God's voice sounds like, and you're able to commune with him, hear his voice, and get direction directly from him. And for those who are listening that think that this is kind of a spooky, weird thing. It's not.
Mm-hmm.
You're not hearing God's voice audibly. There's no hallucinations going
right
on here. There's no.
There's a good chance your Bible's in your lap.
A good chance your Bible's in your lap, and it's definitely in your heart.
Right.
And you have renewed your mind, and you can hear God's voice. I mean, that's the whole point of Jesus saying, "My sheep know my voice."
Mm-hmm.
You know, it isn't that they know my voice by knowing how to study the Bible, which is partly true. It's they know my voice because they know what I sound like in their minds compared to the distracting voices that we have in our minds all the time.
All right. What about all the personal success books? And we live in America, Bill. We can't quit. You can't quit. You got to try harder.
There's a little bit of a fallacy in that. I mean, I buy into some of that.
Yeah.
But because if you know anything about me, persistence is one of my characteristics. But there's also a sense in which success is defined by following God and his call on your life. It's not defined by doing things the way America says you should do it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
All right.
If you have a question for Bill English from BibleandBusiness.com, as we're trying to sort through what it's like to pick up the pieces after a personal financial disaster, or maybe it's a natural disaster like a hurricane or a wildfire or something that has decimated your family or your business, and you have a question, please call with it, 1-877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. Be back in a minute. After the hour, Bill English is in studio from BibleandBusiness.com.
Who is that?
Taj Mahal.
Taj Mahal?
Yeah.
Is that the band you recommended to me?
No.
Off air?
No, no. Me, the banjo player?
Well, no. There was a guy that you were doing some comedy one night, and he was warming up the comedy act.
Oh, that's Pokey Lafarge.
Oh, Pokey Lafarge,
Pokey
yeah.
Pokey Lafarge, yeah. Yeah.
But this is Taj Mahal.
Taj Mahal, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, it is good.
Yeah.
So let's talk about holding your life open with an open hand.
Yeah.
And be willing to have God transform you, redirect your work.
Ephesians 2:10, right? The Bill English paraphrase of Ephesians 2:10 is that God is working in advance in the future to prepare a work, while in the present he's preparing us to do that work. And at some point he's going to bring the two together in a timeline. And that's when we know that we are prepared to do that work.
Mm-hmm.
Don't underestimate the fact that the crisis that you're facing today may very well be God's preparation for that future work that is unforeseen and unknown right now.
That's a hard lesson to learn, though.
But isn't that what James 1 talks about? Consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't say a trial of a particular spiritual kind. It says trials of many kinds. So your trial may be the loss of a large customer. Your trial may be that your husband just left you,
mm-hmm.
and you don't know what you're going to do.
Wow.
Your trial may be that your child has just been diagnosed with something that is going to take a long time to get over and may permanently change their life.
Mm-hmm.
Your trial may be that you have a $600 car repair bill and you don't have any money.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter what the trial is. It's when you face them of many kinds, know that the testing of your faith will produce perseverance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the building of your faith and learning perseverance may be two things that God is building into you through the crisis so that you can be prepared to do the work that he has for you in the future.
Mm-hmm. Bill, it's pretty common that we're going to compare what's going on in our lives with others around us.
Yeah.
And we're gonna have conversations and we're going to share some of the difficulties we have, and people are going to respond with their difficulties, and then we're going to evaluate whose is worse, and you know, maybe I should just keep it to myself. I don't know what we can't compare our crisis to each other's crisis, can we?
Well, but you know what? If you sit around with the elderly, that's all they do. They just talk about their physical ailments.
And, your leg, my knee.
Oh, yeah. I just had another bump.
Yeah.
Anyways, I'm sorry, but I'm not trying to be glib about that.
Because
I'm getting along in years, you know. I'm not a spring chicken anymore.
No, I am.
Anyways.
Okay.
What do you do? Your crisis is your crisis. Don't minimize it. Don't maximize it. And don't try to compare it to how other people are doing. It's easy during the crisis to look at other people who are doing well and say, you know, blast it, God. Why don't you bless me like them?
Yeah.
Why are you making me, you know, poor me, woe is me? This is kind of the Elijah syndrome out of First
mm-hmm.
Kings, right? You know, why did you let this happen to me? That kind of self-pity isn't going to get you anywhere,
mm-hmm.
and it's only going to make things worse. So it's best to say, this is my crisis. I'm going to learn everything that God has for me in this crisis, and I'm going to do everything I can to get out of it, but I'm going to leave the results to God.
That's such a mature attitude.
Well, having been through a number of crises, I can tell you that that's where God has taken me. But it took a lot of crises to get me there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you this. I went through two deep business turnarounds,
mm-hmm.
Losing a lot of, you know, well into the seven figures
mm-hmm.
of my own money
mm-hmm.
To learn these lessons. So
those are expensive lessons.
They are. They're very expensive.
Yeah. So what can we do to improve our situation? Anyone who's right now listening, they have some issue, they have some crisis of sorts, and what can we do to improve that situation and yet still leave the results to God?
The first thing is, this harkens back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If you do these things, God says, then I will do other things, and one of them is heal your land.
Okay.
If you'll confess your sin, humble yourself, and pray, those kinds of things, I'll heal your land. I think the crisis should be used as an opportunity to do a kind of a rectal inventory of your life and say, where do I have sin? And God, what sin do I need to confess?
Mm-hmm. Can you say that word on my show, inventory?
I think you can,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
And so what you need to do is say, God, what sin do I need to confess and what ways do I need to forsake? That would be the first thing I would do. The second thing would be situation dependent, and that would be here's what you got to do to move forward, and,
mm-hmm.
and here's how I'm going to go.
They say everybody's got about four blind spots. So are you willing to take counsel? Are you willing to let somebody come up alongside you and suggest something that might be in your blind spot that you don't obviously see because it's in your blind spot?
That's really tough. Have you ever had a 360 done on you?
Mm.
I have. It's one of the things that people never want is a 360 review.
Well, I drive in Minnesota in the winter, so I think I have had a 360, but I don't know exactly what you're talking about.
Oh, I'm sorry. In business, we call them 360s. It's where you let everybody around you evaluate you, irrespective of where they are on the organization chart.
Do they do that in person? Or do they send little slips of paper anonymously? How does that work?
No, usually they do it with an online instrument, and then you have a counselor who comes and reads through all the raw material, and they synthesize themes, then the themes get presented back to the individual.
That's tough.
Yeah, I've had it done. It's actually quite quite valuable.
Okay.
If you look, if you're a business owner today, mm-hmm. I promise you, you have blind spots. And if you let your employees do a 360 on you, uh-huh. you will be a better business owner tomorrow. I promise you, you will.
Uh-huh.
And if you need somebody to synthesize that, give me a call.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's a bold move, but a good one.
It
because,
is.
Because, you know, it's if you only have people telling you what you want to hear, you're going to be in trouble.
Yeah. Yeah. Very much so. And if you don't know what your blind spots are, then it gets tough to really improve as mm-hmm. a person.
And arrogance is a big problem, especially in entrepreneurial business people's heads and hearts, right?
Run into it every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Most business owners are just a self-absorbed, especially if they're successful.
Mm-hmm.
The success gets to their heads, even though they're Christians.
Yeah.
A lot of times the success goes to their heads.
Yeah. Bill, let's talk about the best practices conference. I know it's coming up October the 26th. Is that right?
October 26th at the Edinburgh Golf Course in Brooklyn Park.
Okay.
And you know what I'd like to do?
What?
I'd like to give two tickets to somebody in Bismarck since they're a new station for us.
But they'd have to come here for
it. They would have to come here for it.
Yeah.
So if anybody, there's some business owners in Bismarck who'd like to come to the best practices conference, get a hold of me and I'll give you two free tickets.
And how
to
would
it.
They reach you? Bill at...
They can just bill@bibleandbusiness.com and I'll redirect them.
Bibleandbusiness.com. Yeah. So you'll gather some names and take a little personal drawing.
Yeah, sure.
It'll
why
be
not?
Legitimate and all that.
It will.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? This is for business owners, $5 million and up in revenue. And go out to bestpracticesconference.com, the website. Take a look at it. We have an impressive lineup of speakers, an impressive mm-hmm. lineup of content. You will not be disappointed coming to this conference for a day.
And that will include complimentary Danish in the morning?
It includes a hot lunch, and we have Kyle Chank from the Super Bowl committee doing our keynote as to what they're doing to get ready for the Super Bowl.
Awesome. That's going to be quite a day.
It's going to be a fun day.
Congratulations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. All right, so you can reach Bill at bibleandbusiness.com, and if you get this idea that you want to come to the conference, especially from Bismarck, you might get two free tickets. How cool is that?
Yep.
Thanks, Bill.
You bet.
See you next week. It is 26 minutes after the hour. We'll take a short break and be back in a minute.